With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock.
A camel turnip.
Ricky, have you ever do you ever take yourself to the office and just, you know, treat yourself to a five knuckle shuffle?
I'm in my office. This is my working from home office. So I just stay here.
Do you have a lock
door? Don't interrupt me. I'm working. Don't knock on the door.
This is just pure work. You know, but no, now that you work from home and this is like the room that you do it from, it is that kind of...
I know.
You just want to shut the door. When it's like gone five, shut the door and pretend that your three bedroom house is a two bedroom house and that this room doesn't exist.
You don't like working, do you, Rick?
Oh, God.
Nah. Well, you know, I don't mind working. It's fine, but not shit work. Give me the good work.
I want all the good work. Ricky is actually, I don't know if you want me to say this, but he's open to new ventures. Is that fair to say, Rick?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, why
Ricky,
not?
And I loved Ricky is on this podcast. By far and away, the fans' favourite. People love Ricky. Give him a fucking job then. A good job that you like to do.
Yeah, please do that. I didn't know that we'd that this is recorded.
Should I just start again?
I don't care, mate.
Yeah, well, there you go. Look, you don't know what might happen. Someone might slide into your DMs and go, do you know what? I love you. And here's a great job for you.
Yeah. What I will say is digital marketing, paid social, PPC. You know, if you know, you know, right?
Is that what you want to get into?
Social media marketing. Yeah, that is, that's me.
T, do you want a job?
No, I'm very, very happy in my current role.
Are you really, really happy, T, with your job?
I am, yeah.
Oh, mate. Do you know how refreshing that is?
3 years.
Do you know how fucking refreshing that is to hear? I'm happy with what I do for a living. It's so rare. I talk about Spurs really and even I complain about it. I don't know if I can do this anymore, Ricky. The football's so shit. I can't turn the fucking microphone on and talk about Tottenham anymore.
I knew I should have done a food podcast. This is stupid.
I should have become a bricklayer. Fucking, I'm such a dickhead. Sometimes I hear myself moan. The other day, right, I was talking to James Allcott, and he's like, how was your weekend? And I just went into a tirade about Spurs, like, after we just got slapped by Leicester. It's fucking shit. Conte's not the one. Look at us. We've lost Bentancur. We're fucking terrible. I hate this. I can't do this anymore, James. I can't talk about football anymore for 11. Right? And then he went, have you seen what's happening to QPR? Have you seen the QPR are in a mess? They haven't won a game in about 20 games. Draw, loss, 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 draw. They've sat their boss. They're looking in for Garrett. But what my point is the grass isn't always greener. Because if the grass is QPR, then you think there's problems at Spurs. Oh, geez, that football club. Anyway, you was at the game yesterday, boys.
You were.
Any trouble outside? Any naughtiness? West Ham giving it, were they?
I was there for the... Fucking hell, what? Why has that word just gone out of my head?
What?
For the, you know, when they walk them from the station.
Oh, yeah.
The police
escort. The fucking kettling. Hell.
Is it kettle?
Yeah, yeah. Kettling, escort, either would have done. I couldn't think of any, so, you know, whatever. But yeah, there was loads of police. Loads of police covering West Ham. There was loads of police vans following them. And it didn't look like a massive mob at all. And maybe because where I was, there wasn't any singing, there wasn't any jeering, and it wasn't any bottles being thrown. It was just a very
cordial.
It was nice. It's just there's a group of people walking past, and then that was it.
Do you have any memories of West Ham kicking off? Because We Spurs played in, I think it was a League Cup, one of Sherwood's first games. And it was in the Park Lane lower. And that was about as bad as I've ever seen it between West Ham and Spurs. Just generally walking down the street. So you're saying it's tamed over the years, Rick? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if it's tamed over the years. Well, actually, yeah, I am saying it's tamed over the years because with, you know, obviously... mobile phones and people filming the new stadium where away fans are walked. They used to be walked down to the kind of intersection of Park Lane and the high road and come around that corner where the traffic lights are. And that's exactly where it was kind of like a quarter of the away fans. And then three quarters was the south stand Park Lane. And you'd have to walk past each other. And there was just like a small segregation of those little metal rail, fencing and all of that's gone now. Yeah, it wasn't a lot. All of that is gone. They get walked down a separate road before they even get to Park Lane, and there is a lot of police presence. And with the Gooner game, that they didn't even walk down the high road. I think it was, they came Northumberland Parkway. That was
I heard that the fans, Arsenal fans, emailed the police and saying, just keep us away. Keep us out of Dodge City. How did you enjoy the game? What did you think of... Before we go into the football, actually, what did you think of West Ham support? Because this is like a big game for them. It's not... I don't really give a fuck about West Ham. I honestly... When I come into a week at West Ham, do you get nervous going into that game?
No. Not at all? I mean they were in the bottom three when the game kicked off, so... They're already on a bad run. So I think there's an element of that in their apathy yesterday. They're not doing well. They're on a very bad run and they probably just didn't give a shit about the game. It's not a fixture I really think about. I agree with Ricky. It wasn't that intense yesterday. I think you probably get most scuffles at the away game. Upton Park is no more, but going to away games there is quite hairy, you know. But the new stadium is not... Don't really see many...
Do you think it's a shame we've lost that element to it?
100%. Yeah, totally. I know some people be listening to this and be like, oh yeah, it's better because safety and, you know, it's a football game, none of that kind of stuff should happen. But it was back in the day, it was, you know, it's an old stadium, that the when it was a derby day, you could, you know, the atmosphere was palpable, like you could cut it with a knife. It was just, you just knew that whether or not people were going to do anything, but it was, you know, lads bouncing on their toes, you know, a bit of a kind of pushing and shoving, whatever. You're not really going to get much action outside the ground because it's going to be like covered with police. But it was, it's what encapsulates a London derby.
Yeah.
It's fucking great, man. I was never and would never ever be frontline doing any of that stuff, and I always kind of watched from afar.
We let tougher men do it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's part of football. I did enjoy it.
Excuse me, sir. Can you look quite big and strong? Can you go and attack those West Ham fans so I can watch?
Excuse me, sir. You know that little label you've got on your sleeve? Does that can you go and fight? You're wearing the Stone Island.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem with everyone wearing Stone Island now. It's because like it's not. It used to be a declaration that you was up for something.
Yeah.
But now it's just like just anybody wears it. So it's like
anyone. And if you're wearing Stone Island as well, that it still means you're up for it, and you'll get folded up.
If you're wearing Stone Island and you're walking down the high road and you get folded up and put to bed, that's on you. You're wearing the uniform. See, do you think there's an edge, the missing edge to Spurs and Tottenham and Arsenal and all the other teams? It's not quite as there as it used to be. It is online. There's some savage shit on Twitter and that. I know you enjoy. But do you think that we've lost the edge?
There's an element of that, yeah. I mean, it's almost too well policed now where it's near impossible for it to really kick off. I think the Arsenal game, there was a little bit of needle there. I think Ricky, myself, Spooky, a couple of others were watching them walk by, and there's flares and all that shit going on. So there's an element of it, but it's never going to be as bad as it was in the 80s and 90s. I don't know why. I think it's probably because it's so well policed, but also depends on how the teams are doing as well. Because West Ham are doing so shit, and they probably thought they're going to get an absolute stuffing yesterday, and they probably could have if we played to our best potential. There's an element of that, really. It's almost fair weather, you know. And I think the next North London derby, the next one at the Emirates, I mean, you know, if they do the unthinkable, I think it'll probably kick off a lot at the away game, particularly.
What did you make of the performance overall, T?
First half wasn't amazing. There's a lot of frustration at halftime when I went for my halftime beer. Mm. But I think we were the better team. I think there's a slight tactical adjustment made in the second half, and, you know, we folded them up. But it was one of those games, it was just an attritional game. And what really stood out to me yesterday was Romero, because it's like,
what?
I'm surrounded by cunts. I'm going to fold people up, show you guys what to fucking do. It's a bit
everyone's
like,
getting folded up. Everyone.
It's a bit like, you know, you and your missus are cooking and you're annoying your missus because you're so crap at cooking. She's just elbowing you out of the way. That's what I felt like Romero was doing to the other defenders. Like, come on, get in there. What are you doing? You know? And someone also mentioned that Bentancur got injured covering for other people, and it felt like Romero could have done it yesterday. Thankfully, he didn't.
Go on.
I think there was like Royal got a lot of plaudits. Sonny did as well for getting his goal. But I don't. It felt like that Romero really didn't get. I didn't see it online or just kind of hearing about it. But Romero was so fucking good yesterday, and I've been one that's been kind of on his back a bit. About
is he as good as everyone says?
And like the lead up to the World Cup, kind of injured and coming back from the World Cup, still a bit of a hangover from that, and it's kind of like proving your worth. And yesterday there was like there's a tackle where kind of Son's position, that left wing centre forward area, and I was like, fucking hell, that's a great tackle. Oh, it's Romero. Fuck it. What's he doing there?
Yeah.
Then there was another one at left back.
Yeah.
Oh no, Ben's... That's Romero. What's he doing there? He was fucking everywhere. Everywhere.
He was. It's insane. It was his best performance at Spurs, hands down. But that one you just mentioned on the left-hand side, when you're in the stadium, you can see everything. So you would have been able to see Romero moving across, I'd imagine. But on TV... Yeah, yeah. On TV, you don't. You see where it focuses on the ball and you just... You're watching. And then... He just fucking does this incredible tackle from the sort of the defender's left-hand side, attacker's left-hand side. And I was like, who's that? Oh, like, he said, where are you come? You're not even supposed to be there, you little scamp.
He kept roaming forwards as well. It's like steaming, he was doing one-twos with Kane. I was like, what? What's going on?
There was one moment where Dad went, what is Romero doing? why is he in a forward right position? He was imperious, and I don't know how much of that was tactical, or he just had the bit between his teeth, or it feels like he needs to make one or two big challenges, or one or two clean challenges, and he's set for the game. Then you know the mood he's in. All of the challenges he made, if he was a half a second late, would have been resulting in yellow cards, because there was a lot that was hard. All of them fair, and he timed all of them correctly. But you just have to take, you have to take the games where he, you know, like got sent off against Manchester United, Man City, and then, you know, it was the fact his absence was a massive part of why we lost so significantly to Leicester, I think. But by the same token, that mercurial talent, you have to accept the good with the bad with the good, and he was incredible. Like when, like you said earlier on, Ricky, that we've all been kind of looking at him, starting to question: is he as good as everybody thinks he is? Like people saying that he's the closest we have to the level that Alderweireld and Vertonghen set when they were at Spurs. And yeah, he was, you know, so a lot of people were saying, well, yeah, but he is playing next to Dyer and Davies, essentially making excuses for him because we think he's good enough. Yesterday, he just grabbed the ball by the horns. It was like a captain's display. It was unreal. He was the man of the match, in my opinion. Do you agree, T?
Yeah, definitely was. He was just doing everything. And he played well against City as well, even though he did get sent off. He did keep Haaland pretty quiet. And the last few games he's been good. I think against Milan, he wasn't at his best, but it's a very weird display, the Milan game. But yesterday, he was amazing. He was everywhere. He was covering every blade of grass. And I think for a derby like that, you need that sort of performance. What I was interested in, I saw a clip, I think, is look at me and Rice and Hoybier having a row and Romero's breaking up. Like, what the fuck's happening there? It's like a parallel universe. Normally, he's like piling in, throwing punches. Like, yeah, love
you,
that shit.
Did you see the fallout?
Another bit with. Oh, sorry, go on.
The Declan Rice thing, where he's. Is that what you were going to say? Where no. Apparently, Declan Rice squared up to Hoybier, as you saw, and apparently said, do you know what he said?
Yeah.
Said, no one likes you.
Nobody likes you. What weird thing to say on the pitch. By the way, nobody likes you. It reminded me of that tweet where this this girl was having sex with this her new boyfriend and said, you know, call me a slag. Call me a slut. Call me a slut. And he went, he was like, yeah. You're a slag and no one likes you. She was like, no, that's not what I was after. I was like, I wanted to be called a bad girl, a slut. And he went, you're a slag and no one likes you. what was you going to say, Rick?
But the cherry on top for Romero's performance is when Emerson Royale scored and Romero celebrating him and then boots him across the thigh as a friendly, like... Have some of that wallop.
What is it with South Americans like being so violent in celebration? Did you see Romero grab Richarlison by the throat as they celebrated?
I thought Richarlison did that.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Emerson grabbed him by the throat like they hated each other, and they're just like, "Yeah, this is great." Even Lucas Moura smacks people on the head. I don't know what's going on in South America. Unreal. Let's move on to Emerson Royale's performance because he's becoming a joy. He's becoming. Like a cult hero. Actually, we've got a question here from Jack Kirby Lowe. He says, whose villain to hero arc is better, Royale's or Sissoko's? It's comparable, isn't it? It really is.
And, you know, I guess Royale's a little bit like modern art, you know, in terms of how you interpret his displays. But it was amazing yesterday. And the way he took that goal, when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, this is going to go over the bar. And he was just so composed in the way he took the goal.
Beautiful.
There's a little video we saw on Twitter about the slight change in formation in the second half. Like Davies and Emerson were more inside than hugging the touchline. And that made all the difference. It was lovely that he kept it with a goal. He's in a very good run of form. You know, maybe the Pedro Porro thing is a Michael Jordan meme, you know, taking this personally and I'm going to just have these 10 out of 10 displays for Tottenham. He's very popular. I mean, I don't think the fans boo him because they hate him. I think he's a very popular player from that point of view.
I think he was hated for a bit. Yeah.
I don't think they hated him personally. I think they hated his displays. I don't think he was in and of himself a hate figure. It's just like, it was frustration and he kept playing and he was playing badly. But I think he's someone who, you know, if he was walking the street, I don't think you'd have people calling him a cunt or anything. You know what I mean?
No.
He's just.
Do you know where the change was, T, for me? Is when he got booed and he took it well. It didn't faze him. He was just like, as far as I understand, the interviews didn't even reference it. Other players sort of dealt with the questions. He's still posting these highlight videos. Still doing no look passes. The geezer is Teflon. He doesn't, he's not in, for someone so young, I think 24, isn't he? 23, 24. Someone so young to be completely oblivious, not even oblivious. He understands the mood. And he's just like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I'm not going to change. And it was that in that moment, I was like, I kind of like that. I like that. He's getting stick, but he's still willing to go out there and perform to the best of his ability. And as it's transpired, in big moments, he's always performed for us. Away in Milan, he was good. And to the, like just to go back to what T was saying about the goal, a brilliant move. I don't think I'd ever, I ever, ever had thought I'd hear Højbjerg, Davies, Emerson, Spurs go 1-0 up. Like, there's the weirdest combination, but the absolute class of the move was unreal. Højbjerg's ball in was brilliant. It's something you'd, you know, if De Bruyne did it or Kane did it, he'd be like, oh my God, look what he's done again. Højbjerg, we know he's better in attack than his gait would lead you to believe. He just plods around like a proper defensive centre midfielder. But on the ball, he's I think he doesn't get enough credit. But that ball into Davies, and it happened so quick. Like, watching it was quick. That ball took six West Ham players out of the game to square it to Emerson. And I just know I was completely confident. I don't know what. Because he can't be fazed. Big situations don't affect him. He was even doing no-look passes again. Doesn't give a shit.
It was mad. Like, I saw that ball come through. I didn't know it was Højbjerg at the time. And then I saw, like, oh, Davies is on it. I was like, our quality. Is that Royal? Like, what? Like, our two furthest forward, our two attacking players are our defenders. And, like, they're right up there. And as he laid that ball across, I was kind of, like, just holding my breath. Like, just don't smash it in Rose Edge. You know, one of those ones. Just put your foot through it. But he just kind of rolled it on the floor, just rolled it back past Kane. He really took his time. He was so kind of confident and patient and just didn't rush it. And I was like, fucking hell, that is absolutely quality.
I'm in love with him. I've got to say, I am bloody in love with him. He's gone from me going, he should never play for Spurs again this season. Less than, probably more, just over a month ago, I'm going, I'm done with him. I've had enough. I'll admit when I was wrong. I'll admit. I don't have an issue with just taking issue with age-old opinions that I might have had. I can own ones that I had. And a month ago, I said that Real should never play for Spurs again. Now I'm like, I need to speak to the T-shirt designer and get some T-shirts mocked out quickly.
Yeah.
Let's capitalise on this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm exactly the same as well, man. Like, there were times where I felt like with Royal, when we played against City or Liverpool, when it was backs against the wall, like when he's playing as a traditional fullback, he was excellent. But when the bits that really annoyed me is that when we were on the kind of a front foot and we were being more offensive, that he would pick the wrong ball, pick the wrong player. The spaces he would take up were the wrong places. He should have been, you know, outside the defender or whatever it might be. But it seems like he is kind of, he's just feeling his way at the moment, and he's getting the balance a lot better. So, like, fair fucks to him, man. Especially like you saying that, coming back from it, that loads of people were on his back and he was being booed and jeered and all sorts. And yet he's still comes out chest pumped and gives it his all. Like if I was in that situation, do you know what I mean? I'd crumble. Fuck that.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. He's just shown strength of character, and I love him for it. We've got a question actually here from Centurion_Spur. He says, "Is Pedro Porro needed in Tottenham after this Emerson revival, T?"
Oh, it's a difficult one, man. I mean, I think it's nice that there's competition. Poro's only game was a bad one, by all accounts. I didn't really watch the Leicester game.
Yeah, he was poor.
But I don't know, maybe this is a G-up that Emerson needed. But I found that Emerson's playing more to his strengths. He's not trying to put in crosses. He's not trying to set Kulusevski free. He's just doing what he's good at. And as long as that remains the case, he'll continue playing well. If other teams start to isolate him and he's got to make something happen, maybe we'll
CD Emerson that we hated in the past. But right now, he's doing what he's good at, and he's doing very well. As for Porro, I believe his time will come. We've got an FA Cup game next week. God, months over already. Yeah. FA Cup game coming up. So you would hope that Porro's given a run out in that game. And I think it's a nice problem to have. Very nice problem to have. I think Porro will get his time.
I just want to play the commentary in the lead up to Emerson Royale's goal here. You guys won't be able to hear it, but on the recording, you will be able to.
Right. Davis. Emerson Royale! Well, for all the big attacking names that Tottenham have available, it's the two fullbacks that combine to get the breakthrough. So casual.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
So casual that finish. Do you know what? In the run-up to... Because I was expecting them to hear the commentary and break it down. The Højbjerg pass didn't even get a mention from the fucking... I don't know who it was. Ian Danta? I don't care. Who the commentator is. Zeus, he says the question is, you're hiking with Emerson when suddenly a snake appears and bites him on his royal penis. With help being far away, do you attempt to suck the venom out? 78 likes that got. 78 likes. It's become a thing. Zeus's question has become a thing.
I like it.
Zeus's question of the week. I think I would. If he plays badly, then I'll let him die. But he's playing well now, so he can live. So it depends on when it happens. If he's in a good run of form, getting goals, then yeah, I'll save him.
I'd do it if there wasn't a snake. I'd say to him, Emerson, I'm not sure you're aware. You've just been bitten on your penis by a snake. And he's like, what snake? Doesn't matter. Can you just remove your trousers?
I've heard that doesn't actually work, you know. You know, if a snake bites you, you've got to suck the... venom out.
You heard down Milton Keynes? Someone told you. What do you mean you've heard?
Is it after the beach?
The off license two streets away. We were chatting about it as I was buying Maltesers. Oh, by the way, mate, did you know that it doesn't actually.
Pedro Porro.
I just want to go back to the Porro and Royale situation. Because a lot of people have been saying, oh, like, typical Tottenham spent 40-plus million and Emerson's playing great, blah, blah, blah. For me, I don't think there's an either or an or. It's because we are going to come up against teams where they will be... where they'll put men behind the ball and the onus will be on us to attack, to create the spaces and to the overlaps, crossing. When it goes to Royale to put in one of those performances... he ain't going to be able to do it. That's not playing to his strengths. But Porro, he will. That's what he's used to, of where he's playing for Sporting, that they have the possession and he's doing all the running into spaces, overlaps, crossing, everything that you'd need to have to be a pure attacking right wing back. So when we do, we can mix and match, man. Doesn't really matter. So there's enough space for both of them.
Bearing in mind, he's just arrived. It takes players... a long time to understand their role and what they've been asked to do. It's not just a case of, you know, when you're playing fucking Champ Manuel, I've bought a right wing back, so therefore I'll put him straight in. He's a human being. There's a system that Conte and Stellini want us to play, and it takes time for players to get up to speed with it. You know, do you remember when Conte was recorded screaming at Bentancur going, what the fuck are you doing, you idiot? Right, it's along those lines, not verbatim, but more along those lines. It's not, some players are so good that they can come in and do it, but, you know, you just give him time. It's not like, he's had zero opportunity in a Leicester game where they were really good. And he's playing next to Tanganga. With Romero, like in my head, I can visualise Romero tackling a player as their attack, you know, descends on our goal. Romero doing an excellent tackle, breaking Sporo, and he just lights up the field. I can see it. Just give it time. How did you think Skip did, T? Because obviously missing Bentancur is huge. It was either Skip or Saar. Skip got the start. I didn't have an issue with that. I would have chose Skip over Saar for this game as well. What did you think of his performance?
I thought he did okay. We obviously spoke about it on the preview, and I think we agreed that either or was going to be fine anyway. I thought he put in a decent shift. It wasn't an amazing game by any stretch from Skip, but he's just solid. Again, the crowd likes him. The teammates trust him. And that's the main thing. The fact that the teammates trust him allows him to do his role. And you know, I thought it was good. I'm not overly concerned if Skip and Saar are fighting for a place alongside Højbjerg for the next 7-8 weeks.
It's not a bad position to be in, is it?
No, not all, no.
Do you know the Saar signing, I think, was, it remains to be seen. It's early days for him, but it could be inspired that. It's very rare that we buy a player from France, specifically Spurs, you know, with bags of potential when they arrive, and then for them just to sort of realise that the ceiling or the level of performances required to achieve in the Premier League is so high that they're not good enough. I'm thinking basically of Ng and Nkudu. You know, we sent him back on loan to Metz. They got relegated. And you're just thinking, wow. And then he turns up and you're like, this guy looks small. And that could be some excellent business. I don't know if it's about £11 million, something like that. It could be some excellent business if he continues to perform the way he has. And it's just his joy to be on the pitch. Every time he comes on, he's grinning from ear to ear. It's very rare you see that in the Premier League of a player because the pressure is so high. But it's almost like he doesn't feel it. So, yeah, it's good to have that. Like, our depth of midfield is really saving us at the moment because we're in the top four. There's lack of depth elsewhere, mainly in defence. But the midfield and the forward line, if we can get the team running properly and being attacking and a little bit more inventive in how we, you know, approach the goal, then we've got the front sort of six or seven are set. It's just defence that needs work. That said, do you think we can get into the top four with that defence? T, do you think a top four finish is on? We're currently in fourth, but the teams around us with games in hand, and you know Newcastle's form has fallen off the cliff. But Liverpool won two on the bounce. If they win their two games in hand, they're a point behind us. You know we've got our running isn't horrendous, but there are difficult games there. What do you think? If you were to predict now, would you think we'll finish in the top 40?
It's definitely attainable. I've been critical of the defence in the last few weeks, and I still maintain that Romero is probably the only one who I've got any real confidence in. But with the fixtures we've got, they're definitely winnable games. And again, I think we've been there so many times. We've been in the top four race for the last 10 years. We've been there and done it. And Newcastle aren't in a position where they're expected to win games. And this recent run of ropey form kind of reflects that.
I think they've won in 1 in 6, I think. Rick, I'm just going to go through our next sort of a list of games, and I want you to tell me whether we're going to win or lose them.
Okay, let's go.
Chelsea at home.
Win.
Sheffield United away.
Yeah, win that.
Yeah, Wolverhampton away.
Yeah, we're in that, yeah.
Oh, AC Milan at home.
Yeah, we'll win that fucking hell. We've got a lot of W's, haven't we, eh?
Forest at home.
Yeah, win. Slap them.
Southampton away, relegated. Win.
Yeah, win that fucking hell.
Everton away. Win?
Win. Yeah, I don't think we're going to lose again this season.
Well, check this out. Brighton at home?
Yeah,
it's a win, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me that we're not going to beat Bournemouth at home.
Yeah, we are.
You can't tell me that, can you? We're going to win that one. T, Newcastle away. Will we win that game? Just fucking say win. Just say win.
Yes. Yes.
So
by
our reckoning on the fighting cock, we are going to win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of our next 10 games.
Do you remember that game show? It's an American game show where they had a row of like 8 playing cards, like oversized playing cards, and you'd have to say higher or lower.
Yeah, well, the price is right.
Play cards right.
It's English.
Was it?
Yeah,
but it was 5.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, we know the game.
When you're saying, when you keep getting like a two and we'll be like higher with the win-ins, and then when you said Newcastle, it was like, oh, is it going to be higher or lower?
Yeah, that's a seven.
It's
isn't
like
it?
An eight.
That's
it's
a seven or an eight. 100%. Sonny came off the bench, netted, not for the first time this season. Last time he did that against Crystal Palace, got bagged a hat trick. I think he needed to be taken out of the firing line. I don't think he had an issue with it. It was like proving the doubters wrong. And for Kane to put that ball into him, it's like we hadn't seen that run. We hadn't seen him burst into space. I'm not sure why he did it in this game or why it happened the way that we'd seen it happen. But as soon as he went through, I was like, that's a goal. And it's great. It was great to see him score a tee, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, he performed a lot better in his little cameo. I think it was the right decision to drop him. I remember I said maybe give him 45 minutes. I think it was the right decision. And we hope that this is the springboard to the old son that we know and love. He overtook Teddy Sheringham in the scoring shots as well. So it's another nice milestone.
98.
So it's two away from 100 Premier League goals, which is amazing, really. It's not something we expected from him when he first joined Tottenham. And, you know, he's a Spurs legend. That's a given. But
hands down,
it was lovely for him to score. Lovely for him to score against West Ham, given that their fans fucking hate him and he hates them. So
yeah, so this again, this huge. So there was like racist comments towards him from West Ham fans, not for the first time. We've got a really sort of ugly track record of targeting Son. It's almost like, why aren't they brave enough to target other races? Like, don't say anything about any other races, just him.
He's fucking them. Do something else. Do something else, for fuck's sake.
He's motivated against West Ham, isn't it? He is. I don't know if you saw that AC Milan, like there was a tweet from Tottenham. It says, we've been made aware of the utterly reprehensible online racist abuse towards Son during today's match, which has been reported by the club. We stand with Sonny. Once again, call on social media companies and authorities to take action. And then AC Milan replied and said, show racism the red card. We're with you, Son. Hashtag we resp act.
Was that in relation to AC Milan? Because I saw that yesterday. I thought
AC Milan replied. They added Spurs. You know what they didn't
do?
Do you know what they didn't do, Ricky?
What?
Didn't quote tweet it. They just replied underneath, which is not as that's not a stronger message.
Yeah.
Like, we're grateful, AC Milan, for your you know, your thoughts and stuff. Quote tweet it so all your fans can see, not just us.
Like soft activism, you know what I mean?
You clicktivism, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is.
If they were to quote tweeted, they would have got all the engagement as well. So that's
by their own fans going, fucking talking about what are you talking about?
There might be a vacancy there for you,
Rick. As someone who works in social media, would you take on a job at Spurs, or would you find that quite difficult because your relationship with the club, it'd be impacted? And
it would be
changes everything, doesn't it?
It would be nigh on impossible. It's a no from me. I love Tottenham. I've like for the past fucking 12 years been recording a podcast talking about Tottenham, season ticket 20 odd years. But to work in it day in, day out and do what I'm doing on top, it's just too much, man. I wouldn't be able to do it.
No. We love Tottenham, but there can be too much Tottenham.
Yeah.
At times, you really wish you could keep Tottenham at arm's length.
Yeah.
Well, I do sometimes. When things are going poorly, I was like, do you know what? Not today, Spurs. Right. Maybe tomorrow or on Wednesday. Maybe then we can start talking. But right now, you know, it's like having sex with your bird and she slaps you and you didn't agree that that was a thing. It comes out now with bosh. Like, what?
Close fist.
Is that what we do in bed now, is it? That's how I feel about Spurs at times. Gary L. I know, before we do this, actually, no, it's sort of is related to what I was about to say. Gary L. says, how long will it be before Richarlison is linked with a move away? How does Conte expect him to find any consistency whilst making the occasional start and 15-minute cameo appearance? What's your reaction to that, Rick?
I think he's got a point, really. It's a difficult one because Richarlison has been the kind of cameo appearances that he has been getting is where Son plays, and traditionally I don't think Richarlison plays that. I think he's more central.
For Brazil, for sure.
So, like, he would be, for him to get a rhythm and a run of games, he'd be playing where Kane is, and that ain't going to happen. So he's naturally having to get snatching opportunities out of position where Son plays, but Son has been massively out of form, and Richarlison should have been brought in earlier or even started games a lot more, but it hasn't happened because Son is Son, you know? And I think Conte's tried to play him into form. He obviously knows how amazing of a player Son is. So it's just that one bit of magic, and Son can do that for you. So it's difficult. And I don't want to see Richarlison play where Kulusevski is, because that really isn't where... exactly. So it's tough, but then where does he get this kind of the momentum that he needs to play, and this rhythm that he needs to pick up? It's going to be in replace of Kane and Son.
But bearing in mind, he's been injured. Like, a lot of him not playing isn't not to do with the fact that he isn't rated or not given opportunity. He came back from the World Cup injured for a significant amount of time. He spent the last three games coming off the bench, which you'd expect after an injury. So, and he got an opportunity to play yesterday. I know off the left isn't his main position. He's clearly a number nine because of what he did at the World Cup with Brazil, and the fact that they prefer him over to Jesus. But it was always going to be as a back. He was always going to play more than as a left winger than he was as a centre forward, and he got the opportunity, didn't he, yesterday to start, and he wasn't good enough. He harried and he created issues for West Ham, but his quality on the ball wasn't quite there yesterday. And you saw as he come off, he was quite disappointed with his performance.
Yeah, I think we've just got to be a bit patient. It's a very weird season with his injuries. World Cup mid-season, you know, if the World Cup didn't happen and he had a good World Cup for Brazil at that point in time for Tottenham, he might have been banging in the goals for us at that point in time. So it's a very weird season. I think Sonny's first season, he wasn't starting a lot of games initially. He was in and out of the team. He had this weird injury that has a Latin name that I can't pronounce.
That was on the bottom of his foot, wasn't it? Between the tendons.
Yeah.
I remember reading about that and getting quite into that injury.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think we can come to any conclusions from Richarlison's first season. I think he'll get there. He'll definitely get there. I wouldn't worry.
Yeah.
I was listening to Rule the Roost this morning, and Jack was saying about Richarlison and getting his opportunity and where he naturally plays, where Kane is and stuff like that. And then I was just listening, and then Jack's like, yeah, but this could all be in preparation from when Kane leaves, because, you know, that hasn't been resolved and there's a year left. And when he said that, I was like, oh God, like I literally felt a pang, like a little bit of there is worry in my stomach. I was just like, fucking hell, that's a horrible thing. Just, can we just not talk about it? Just ignore it.
Yeah. So I get like, I've been on a few things outside the Fighting Cock, like different shows and podcasts and stuff. And the question I keep getting is, do you think Kane will stay? And I'm like, well, don't ask me that. Like, I don't know what you want. What do you want me to say? Do you actually want me to sort of come on your show or whatever it might be and go, yeah, I think he'll go United. Probably best thing for him. God, I don't want to think about that. Fuck off. And the thing is if Kane does leave in the summer, if United get bought by fucking, them getting taken over by the Qataris, if it happens, isn't good news, because it means they can buy Kane or spend money on Kane way over his market value. They'd have to pay 100, 120 million. With a year left on his contract, he's worth nowhere near that. So, fuck, I don't want to talk about this. I do have a question about Richarlison, though, is if Kane does leave, are you happy with Richarlison leading the line, Rick?
I think Richarlison definitely brings a different quality, and it would be we would have to kind of play a different way to suit him. Whether you'd be happy about it, I mean, like Kane is going to go down as one of the greatest strikers in the Premier League. So there is going to be
he is
no
the
comparison.
Greatest. He'll score more than Rashiri.
Exactly.
He is the greatest.
So then it's very hard to compare. Like, Richarlison can't lay a glove on him, really. And to say, am I going to be happy with Richie being his debutant, or like him being the main striker, it's as close as, not as close as you're going to get, but you know, he's the Brazil number nine. Like, there's no better place to start with, really.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he does have Neymar and Vinicius. That's not helping him. But no. we got forwards, good forwards as well. You know, the lineup was quite pragmatic when it was announced, wasn't it? We had two defensive wing-backs in Davies, who played there for the first time since Conte took over, and Royale on the other side. And I mean, it was a fair argument to say that maybe we could have done with, you know, Perisic and Royale, or Porro and Davies, and just had one side that was more attacking-minded. There's a beautiful irony in that sort of reservation, in that both fullbacks or wingbacks combined to score. So it just shows you how much, you know, we think we know about the game. But
I was going to say as well, like earlier on when I said that when I looked up and Davies and Royale were the most furthest forward of our attackers, and I was like, they're defenders, like, what are they doing? This is mad. But isn't it one of Conte's things where his wing backs push forward and it's like to put the ball across so the other wing back can meet it at the far post?
Sessegnon scoring it.
Sorry,
did I take you? You were going to that, weren't you?
I was going to go for the Doherty example, but you've come in with a totally different example, which is exactly the same, which is great. It solidifies my point. I'm an orb of knowledge of football.
It was Leeds where Sessegnon crossed for Doherty to finish last season.
Yeah.
You're right. It was exactly the same. But my question here wasn't necessarily about those guys, because in the first half, you're thinking, this is really pragmatic. It's quite defensive. Where are we going to score from? You know, we didn't. But I felt more comfortable knowing that we had real options off the bench. We had Porro. We had Perisic. You know, there was Danjuma and Son who could have come on. So while it was pragmatic to start with, it felt like we could change the game with our bench, whereas that hasn't been the case. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I think attacking-wise, as a squad, we're doing okay. with the earlier conversation about if Kane leads, can Richarlison do a job? I think we're in a better state now to replace Kane than we have been in the last 5 to 6, 5, 10 years. So that's a positive. But yeah, I looked at that bench and there were so many options up there to stretch the game. I was surprised that Danjuma didn't get his chance, but then Sonny scoring kind of, you know, put that to bed.
I don't know where Danjuma fits.
If Lucas Moura ran out as well.
I really don't know where Danjuma fits in his team. Like, he was brought in for depth and that's it, wasn't it? It feels like that.
Yeah. I mean, you would have thought he'd been playing in the left, maybe they've replaced Son at some point, but I think it looks like Son's got that position nailed down to the end of the season, unless he goes back to being terrible.
The only thing would change it is if Kane gets injured, then Richarlison becomes our number nine, and then the left-hand side is Danjuma or Son. Anyway, we've got a question here from James Payton, and he says, here's my question. I won't mention all the names, as Flav Bateman will have a brain fart, but why does everyone only concentrate on Antonio Conte's family being in Italy? We have 5 further Italian coaches who have family living away from home.
Conte is a boss. That's why. Conte is a manager. That's why he's more pronounced with him than the others.
Do you boys have any issue with the fact that he's returned home? Like, I spoke my stepmum, Valerie. She had a gallbladder out, and she was back to work within 7 days.
Was she?
Yeah, she was. I mean, she's not a coach of a Premier League football club. She was a dinner lady, but she was back to work doing her best.
You need core to ring the bell. So, like, you know, yep. She's like, you know.
I don't think she rang the bell to about 8 weeks after the operation. I think that.
I have no problem. You know, he's been through a lot, and whether you want to be that kind of stoic. People pass away and this, that and the other, that like not only Ventroni, who is incredibly close to passing away, then two other teammates that are that he was very close with. It's just a huge amount to kind of psychologically to process.
He looked tired. He looked tired.
And then let alone having an emergency operation for your gallbladder, it's a lot physically and mentally, and your, you know, Premier League manager at Tottenham.
Well, you
I think he probably needs to go back to Italy to spend time with his wife and daughter in his hometown, wherever, and to kind of just have a bit of that bit of headspace, really.
What you imagine like you like Vertonghen was ill, like Conte knew he was ill, but he was shocked by how quickly he became from being, you know, poorly but like working and stuff to passing away. And then just a few months later, Conte also falls ill, and, you know, thank the stars that it was just a gallbladder operation and wasn't anything more significant. But that would take a mental impact on you. And bearing in mind, as the head coach of a Premier League football club, it's all mental. All of it's mental. You can't do anything on the pitch. Like, he's retired from playing football many, many years ago. All of what he does now is mental. So he has to think about all of the intricacies and difficulties and nuances of preparing for every single Premier League game. On top of that, we've got Champions League and, you know, FA Cup. I can see where the mental strain has come from. So I don't have a problem with it either. I don't think...
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We've got a question here from Fuzz. He says, if Conte is leaving in the summer, which most of us expect he is, and we are wasting our time keeping him? The results seem better with Stellini managing things, and the new manager bounce could go a long way this season with the Champions League and FA Cup. Would you replace Conte? He didn't ask that question. He said, who would you replace Conte? So he's already made his mind up. But would you replace Conte at this stage, T?
No, I think there's a bit of continuity there with Stellini and Mason at the helm.
Because if Conte goes, Stellini goes with him, right?
I think I think it's a soft sacking, to be fair. I think they realise that it's probably not really working out. Conte doesn't seem happy. I think last week's probably the first time I come to the realisation that Conte isn't going to be our manager next season. And it's tough because I really wanted us to see it out and trust the process, all the cliches of Arteta type managers where you just kind of see it through and hopefully you'll see the fruits in a season or two. But it does feel like, the writing's on the wall for Conte.
Yeah, if I don't think, to answer your question, Fuzz, I don't think he gets sacked. You can't sack him when he's away on fucking respite, or, you know, he's away from the team because he isn't physically or mentally there to do it. So sacking him now would be horrendously bad decision to make, especially with Stellini.
We're fourth place. We're in the Champions League and FA Cup still. You know what I mean? You can't it'd be absolutely ludicrous to sack him now.
You wouldn't have heard this, Rick, in the broadcasting when they asked Stellini how was Conte been involved in the build-up of this game and the tactics, and he was saying, yeah, he's been involved completely. We're talking to him constantly, and he's given us advice, and he's saying, this is what the first team should be. This is how we should approach this game. So he is involved. He's just not there. So you're right. We are in all these competitions. We are still in a good place. If we perform well in the last 15 games of the season, we will finish top four, which for a large part of this season, I didn't think we would. So
do you think Stellini was on the bench yesterday and like throughout all of it, like Conte has been been advising him on WhatsApp, telling him what to do. Then as soon as it gets to game time, like Conte's expecting to be sending these WhatsApp messages, and he sends it, and Conte's like, why hasn't it got the blue ticks? Like has he got reception? And he's like, what the fuck's going on here? And like Stellini's just like, I'm the captain now.
He's looking at his phone, and he's during the game, and he's looking down. It's Antonio Conte calling, and he's like, oh, fuck that, not now.
Restarting his modem at home, just like, shit, man. Why ain't it happening?
It's like you're on a night out, and you said to your missus you'd be home by 10, and it's 4 a.m. and you're 2 grams deep. And you're like,
just looking at all your mates.
I'm not dealing with this now.
Yeah.
Block. there has been some rumours, strong rumours, about Pochettino coming back to the fore. What do you? If Conte isn't going to be, I think we all agree. And like you said last week, it became clear that Conte probably isn't going to be at Spurs, and there's no ill feeling towards him. But if we're moving forward, what is it? What do you want? Is it Pochettino? Because the other options on the table aren't that appealing, like Tuchel and.
It feels an inevitability that Pochettino comes back. Yeah. Maybe it's a bit too soon. I don't see what changes between his last tenure at Tottenham to now. The rebuild he talked about is in progress at the moment. And I don't know, maybe you see people like Porro and, not Session Number, Udogi be there next season. Maybe Poch could do something with them. He'll make the fans feel better. I mean, Pochettino really does give that kind of feel-good vibe. But yeah, the names aren't that exciting to me. De Zerbi's doing good at Brighton, but still he's relatively unproven in England.
Good manager, though. He is a good manager. He's gone, he's done really, really well. Rick, you hate the idea of Thomas Tuchel, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely love it. I hate him. I don't know why I've got, like... I don't know, man. It's just his face. I hate his face. The whole business with shaking hands of Conte... and that whole debacle, I never really liked him. I'd hate it if he became our manager. And like T was saying, what are our choices really? I think we are going to get to a point when it comes to the summer, Conte isn't going to renew. He's going to want to kind of go back and recharge his batteries back home, which is fair enough. But I'm also thinking, like, in the papers we're being linked at the moment with Brozovic, Inter Milan, and it's like, well, why would that guy come if Conte is going to be leaving? Like, I don't know. Maybe it might just be, maybe it's all this
Paratici.
Kind of
we've like, got Paratici, anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
how many there is an issue with homegrown players as well, isn't there? Or maybe we just don't care. Just fuck it.
Yeah, I don't care, really. I just get loads of people in.
Yeah, it's pretty Brexit if you're concerned about the homegrown player.
Just gaslighting, man. Trying to gaslight Tottenham.
Yeah, what are you trying to do? we're trying to be inclusive over here.
What are you saying? What do you mean?
Yeah, what? Sorry, what? You don't think foreign people to belong in England? Sounds like what you're saying to me is... You want to stop us entertaining the idea of people outside of social demographic in England just because they want to play football. Is that what you're saying? Will West Ham go down? I think they will. They weren't very good, were they, T?
They were dreadful. They could definitely go down. A lot depends on Danny Ings because they've got a blind spot with Bayern strikers. If he gets going, then they can stay up, but it doesn't look good for them.
Where was Ings yesterday?
He came on
as sub. I didn't realise he even played for them until he came on.
He did nothing, but he did came on.
Do you know what it felt like yesterday? That it felt like we were, how the game played out, that we were big brother yesterday. You know, when you're teasing your little brother and he comes flying towards you and you've just got your palm of your hand on his forehead and he's windmilling and he's just not laying a glove on you. And then you just give him a sharp jab and he... Just to let him know that you're there, and it calms down, quiets the situation down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even though we didn't do anything in the first half, particularly, I thought we were the most attacking out of the two, and looked as though we were most in control. But I just didn't feel that we were ever in any kind of
danger.
Trouble. No. Yeah.
He did when Son scored, it felt like entering a warm pum.
with the moan in your ear as you're entering.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. Everyone, all the boys know. All the girls know. All the girls know as well.
If you know, you know.
if you've had sex, then you know. Entering a warm, willing pum is the best.
I don't. I just hear, is it in? You know it is. Why are you saying, why are you being like that?
Oh, my ribs.
Do you ever sometimes go, no, 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 it's not. It's not yet. Not yet.
You just thumb it in.
Have you ever had the situation where you're just so into it? Things are good. Like in the bedroom, like it's flowing. Sometimes you're getting a vibe of each other and things are flowing and, you know, you're working each other and it's great. And then in your head, I don't know if this is the same for women, people of other genders, but for men, it's like in your head, you go, you'd be fine. And if you never thought of it, it would never be an issue. But in your head, you're just like, oh, fuck, I'm going to come. If I hadn't thought, I'm going to come, I'd be fine for another at least 3 or 4 minutes. And then you just say, stop moving. She's like, no, don't come. Well, stop fucking moving then. Because you keep moving, it's over.
It's like Flav's on the couch here.
Yeah, I needed to get this out. Stop moving then, innit? Stop wiggling. All right. That's the end of the Fine Cup podcast. Cheers, Rick. Cheers, T.
Pleasure.
No worries, man.
And up the fucking Spurs. We're going to do another podcast towards the end of this week, do a Q&A and a preview to the Chelsea game.
Hey.
But do you boys fancy that one?
Let's go.
This is how you want to be remembered. All right. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.